Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Hour number two of Way Back Wednesday. And the year is 1992. And who's up this hour, Nick?
That would be me.
The Laminack.
Yeah, it's shocking. I just wanted to make sure we didn't miss one of your two songs.
No, I'm up to four now. Okay. Sorry.
You steal two from Barry?
It's progressing. I did not. Oh, okay. I did not, sir.
Okay.
That was one of my jams back in the day.
Yeah,
I
this
love
is a
that
pretty
song.
Good song.
That beat. P-Rock and CL Smooth were really underrated. Positive over negative for the woman, the master. Mother Queen's rising the chapter. Great song.
Joel's list is pretty strong. Your list looks pretty strong, so it's really just up to me.
You're going to have to bring it, huh, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, you've already been disqualified just because you didn't want to compete. You realized you were out over your
head. I'm not making up disqualification rules because I went with something obvious. You guys have to look at the release date, okay?
You put two songs in a list.
Joel is so bitter about getting disqualified.
Barry and I both noticed you put two songs in the list, which means your other six songs automatically suck. Because we can tell you that they're all going to be Celine Dion songs, because we'll pick them for you.
Okay, PM Dawn.
That's right. Yeah. Die Without You.
Oh, God, you guys are cute when you fight.
Here we go. So Rockets tonight, is it over?
Yes.
Let's close it out.
It is over.
Nick, you going?
Absolutely.
Late night with the Toyota Center crowd, 8:30?
Yeah, I just wish they would. I guess because they're the number one seed. Is that why they're scheduling these playoff games? Because I don't remember. I don't think any of the home games in the first series, Joel, has been at 7. They're all have been at 8:30.
Normally, it's just, would they call it the West Coast time zone? Houston gets roped into that. And it's weird because sometimes Oklahoma City would too. But I found it odd that at Minnesota was the early start time.
Right.
Maybe it's because they know that the fans in Houston suck at getting there early, and so at least it'll look like a full house if they do it at 8:30.
Yeah. Who do I call about that?
I'll call Adam Silver
on the way to the Toyota Center.
Bottom line is, though, they just need to take care of business and end it tonight, because there's just been a couple of games that they've been screwing around. Now that it seems with the second half and the third quarter they put together the other night, just, you know, keep rolling, send a message, and you know, fine-tune it. You brought up a great point, though, Nick, that I think is worth mentioning again, which is if they do finish it off, you almost hope that Utah finishes off OKC and does it quickly, too, because if that series goes 6 or 7, I don't like having the time off for this team. I just don't think it's conducive to the way they're built.
Yeah, I don't think it ruined them when they were taking the rest off, but there was, I think, a little bit of rust. At least I would hope to blame some of that poor performance on some rust. Not poor performance, but some of the lackluster performances that they had in a couple of the games. But
I mean, Barry, it's taken a month. They haven't played well all month since they wrapped up the best record in basketball.
Yeah. You know, remember, too, though, they haven't been completely healthy or whole for most of this second half. There's always been a component missing, whether it was Eric Gordon, Luke Mbamute, dare I say, Ryan Anderson. I mean, Chris Paul's missed some time, Capella, Tucker. There's always been one. And don't sleep on the fact that all of those guys are important to the whole of this team. Every one of those role players outside of Harden and Chris Paul, and dare I say even Capella, lumping him in with their big three, because I think it's almost time where we have to kind of call that a big three, and we can, I guess, maybe that's a separate discussion. Yeah. But all of those guys are important to this team and for what they bring to the table.
But I mean,
table.
That's also a built-in excuse.
Even Ryan Anderson.
But it's a built-in excuse because you're not going to have Mbamute till hopefully the start of the second round, but you don't know. So you're still.
But I'm saying
that's a crutch.
No, but I'm saying that this team hasn't played as a whole and that might have something to do with their struggles a little bit.
Okay. I mean, because my thing is, I get it, because the regular season games didn't mean anything, and then when you saw guys that were still playing, you know, risk injury, that made it even more so like, look, okay, we're going to just make sure we don't do anything else to screw this up. But then the first game of the playoffs, you're thinking they're going to come out like gangbusters, send a message, they're going to be at full strength, and they're going to be ready to go, all this energy, and then they almost pissed one away to the Timberwolves, and I'm thinking, man, seriously, this whole series has been one big half from James Harden, one big quarter in game four, and one blowout where they still were shaky in game two. Other than that, I still think the only thing that I have a lot of hope in is if they just steamroll and capitalize and keep it going from what they did in game four in the second half.
Well, I mean, you look at it, that Heat series, that Heat Sixer series was kind of that way as well. They put a graphic up on the screen last night that showed basically the difference in every one of those games was one quarter. And I think that's today's NBA game, too. I mean, teams will go on a run. The thing that's scary about the Rockets that most other teams can't deal with is the thing you saw in that third quarter of the last game when they put up 50. The Rockets can score in so quickly and in such abundance that a lot of these teams aren't built to be able to hang with that. You saw that with Minnesota. All it takes is the Rockets to get up 15 or 20 quickly. And that, I mean, you put a lot of pressure on a team whose offense is predicated around low post play and doesn't get set up quickly. I mean, they're not getting a shot off within 7 to 8 seconds like the Rockets will do.
I mean, the big thing with Minnesota, too, is they just don't have the shooting. I mean, look, if you want to play that game with a team like Houston or Golden State, you have to have the ability to knock down shots. And we've seen in the series, when Minnesota has been in a game or in the game that they won, you know, they found the blind squirrel found a nut, and they found the three-point shot. And they made an ungodly amount of threes from what they normally make. And they completely went out of their comfort zone from what they normally run on an offensive set. And they made shots. Derrick Rose, when he is on, he gives them an element that makes them a better team, but they don't have it every night. But overall, to your point, Barry, I don't think there's any more than the two teams that everybody wants to see face off in the Western Conference Finals that have figured it out, like the Warriors and Rockets, which is, it's one thing to want to play the style that is kind of the hot style right now that the Rockets and Warriors play, but you can't play it if you can't make shots and make them, you know, at a high rate when you're traveling up and down the floor like the Warriors and the Rockets do. And that's the big difference. There's no one in the Eastern Conference that can play that style and execute because they don't have shooters like that.
No, not at all. And that's what's going to be interesting in the finals, because I think we can all agree the finals is either going to be the Warriors or the Rockets from representing the West.
Yep.
And it's going to be interesting to see what team that comes out of the East, whether it's Philly or the Celtics or Cleveland. None of those teams can hang with the style of offense that both of the Western Conference potential representatives can run.
Yeah,
so.
Totally
and
agree.
Speaking of that, I mean, I'm watching the Sixers Heat game last night, and I'm watching the Heat trying to catch up and shoot threes. And one thing I noticed, and I started seeing this in the other games too, not so much with the Warriors, again, because I think the offenses are somewhat similar that the Rockets run, but not really. But they're close. But they're certainly closer than most of the other teams. I don't think the Heat took but a couple of set three-point shots. A lot of it was on the run, like on off the dribble, and almost, dare I say, Gerald Green-style three-point shots, where they're moving and they're not moving. They're not set. They're not squared. They're kind of moving side to side of the basket. And I thought, man, we get spoiled watching the Rockets because a lot of their three-point shots outside of James Harden with his step back is guys run to a spot and they wait for James to create the opening.
No question.
And that's what's the beautiful thing about this offense is, I mean, it's scary because it predicates that James is able to create. But if James doesn't, it's Chris Paul. So you've got that backup. But you've got PJ Tucker in one corner. You've got Ariza in the other corner. You've got Gerald Green on a wing or Eric Gordon on the wing.
Yeah.
And they're standing there ready to shoot.
But it's an art form.
Watch some of these offenses. You won't see that a whole lot.
No, but it's an art form too. You mentioned Gerald Green. The other guy that comes to mind that I talked about with Mario and Mooch is a guy like Bellinelli. Bellinelli doesn't ever seem to get his shoulders squared and his feet set, but he makes those shots. But it's an art form, like coming off a screen and learning how to shoot that shot, or the some of the things that a lot of guys work on in their games. if you're going to run that style of play, you better be prepared to stop on a dime and let it fly and try to consistently make shots, especially from three. And not a lot of guys practice that shot or can make that shot. You're right. The Rockets, the fans, I truly believe you're absolutely onto something. They are spoiled rotten in the fact that they have a roster full of guys that can make those shots as well as the other shots and make them consistently enough so you can put points on the board. That's what I'm talking about. You can run that style of play and practice all day, but it's an art form, and it takes practice to be able to make the shots that are necessary to make that offense work. And there's not enough good shooters in this league, I don't think, and definitely not enough good teams that can try and compete with Golden State and Houston from that regard.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that the Heat would settle for a moving three-point shot around a pick. Which, I mean, I can see that if it's a mid-range jumper and you have, you know, you have a, one of your post players come out and set a screen, you get like kind of like what Chris Paul will do a lot of times. So if on the pick and roll, he'll move around, but he'll come around a couple of screens, like a double screen, and shoot his mid-range jumper. But for three-point shots, that's got to be a very low percentage compared to some of the other options that you might have.
For sure.
That's also why the Heat got bounced.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the fact that they lack talent, but they had a lot of effort. But they're done. The Sixers are moving on. The sexy pick to represent the East when we talk about who's going to represent the Eastern Conference.
I tell you what, watching that game last night, I see why it's the sexy pick.
Yeah, a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon.
That's a hell of a basketball team.
Especially with what happened, what's going to go down tonight. If LeBron and the Cavs lose at home, that streak is ball but over in my mind. I mean, I can't see LeBron giving up a series in the first round, but it's possible because they don't look very good. And neither does Toronto. And Boston is a short man. So, yeah, I agree with you. Philly looks like the team that could be the hot team at the right time. But, it all remains to be seen.
And they got Meek Mill on their side. So what else do you need?
And when that man's got a hammer ringing the bell, look the hell out. Okay, so we got plenty more to get to in hour number two of a Way Back Wednesday in the year 1992. Barry's got the hour number two. I had hour number one. And Siri has hour number three. As we continue to roll on, it's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep, hour number two, 3 hour extravaganza. It's the big show, the usual suspects, Nick, Barry, Joel, with you till 4 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. Talking about some NBA hoops and the games last night were, as you mentioned, the Sixers eliminated the Heat. And in the other game that I barely stayed awake for any part of, the Warriors finally did away with the Spurs. One thing I would say that stood out for me during this entire series and even very, very much prevalent last night was Golden State may be shorthanded offensively, and they don't run the same offense that they've been running when they've been successful in the past. But I'll tell you this, defensively, when you talk about teams, Barry, that we were looking at, that very few teams can play the kind of defense you need to play to defend the Rockets. They're one of those teams that just have a lot of freakishly athletic players that can play multiple positions, and they still play a pretty good brand of defense, regardless of what they're missing without Steph Curry.
Yeah, they can still get down. I mean, they can defend well. They can defend the perimeter. They can defend down low. Draymond Green's a pest in both. That's the thing that Draymond Green brings to that team. It, similar to, you know, like Luka Mbamute and PJ Tucker on the Rockets, is he brings that high level of intensity on defense, and he's versatile. He can defend the wing, but he can defend down low if he needs to. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, the Rockets like to switch on big men. That's not going to help them against a team like the Warriors, because I mean, all of the quote big men are going to play the perimeter as well. KD's going to play outside. Draymond Green's going to play outside. So I don't think that whatever advantage they might be looking for when they do that, it's not going to exist.
I'll tell you this. The one thing that surprised me because of the way that they had still and really encouraged these guys to play defense is they took Zsa Zsa Pachulia out because they didn't want to hurt anybody. And they put in a guy that I never thought I would ever be complimentary towards when it comes to his abilities on the basketball floor, JaVale McGee. And JaVale McGee is blocking shots and protecting the rim, and athletically, he's going to be a guy that I can see being on Anthony Davis in the next round now. And I think there's a guy that, again, you don't stop the great ones, but you can slow him down. His length and athleticism for a guy that's a little bit out there, I'll tell you what, he played big for them in that first series, and I can see him giving a little bit of a thorn in the side to the brow.
Now, this is silly because, well, I think it's silly, but I was watching, or I had, I fell asleep with the TV on last night in my room, and I woke up to Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman on whatever show it is that they scream at each other.
First take.
And Max Kellerman had posed the question to Stephen A. Smith, who's better, KD or AD? Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant? To me, that seems like a silly question, but I don't know. Is it?
Here's the thing. Are you asking my gut reaction is this year's playoffs? Yeah, I was going to say, are you asking this year's playoffs or overall? Because overall, I think I'm with you. And I heard part of what you were talking about. I scoffed at it from the – like, how can you say that Anthony Davis –
not even close to me.
Right. But in this year's playoffs, you could say that Anthony Davis is the best player that has been going so far in this year's playoffs. Ooh. Harden's had some big games, but he also had a stinker in game two. Consistently in that first round, Anthony Davis had monster numbers.
That's true, but this is going to surprise some folks, all right? So I pulled up the leaders in the postseason, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You're right. Offensively, Anthony Davis leading the NBA in the postseason with 33 points a game, Harden right behind him at 30 in third place, LeBron at 32.5, and Durant fourth with 28. Capella's name is all over this list. He is fifth in field goal percentage at 60.5. He's first in defensive rebounds, or in rebounds at 14 a game. He is fourth in blocks at 2.25 a game. And he, it's crazy because I don't think, this is what, when I mentioned earlier about the big three, I don't think Capella's quite getting the love and the recognition that he gets. He's not going to go put up 20 a game. There's just not enough ball to go around. But everything else that he does, from shooting a high percentage to defending the low post, then he's out there. I mean, don't forget, like I said earlier, this is a team that likes to switch and create what is a perceived mismatch with James Harden down low guarding a big man, or Eric Gordon guarding a big man. And then you've got Capella up top, having to guard, you know, a wing player or a backcourt player. And he's able to do that because he's, you know, so athletic. And I feel like Capella might be getting slept on for a lot of people on what he's contributing defensively, and consistently on offense.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know Nick's the biggest, Capella Kool-Aid drinking guy out there, but the thing is, he is very underrated and unsung for what he does as an overall player on this team. And he does the little things. A lot of these things, as you mentioned, they might not show up at first glance at a box score. Some of them don't even show up on a stat sheet in terms of the intangibles when you talk about his rotations, the way he's able to run the floor, the way he understands the offense, the screens that he sets too. But to the things that you're talking about as well, I mean, that's the biggest thing. The Rockets are going to have their hands full next season going into next season trying to make sure that they secure him, because teams are out there looking, and there's a lot of people paid a lot of money to investigate the things deeper that are on the lines that you're talking about, and someone's going to overpay him. You really don't want to run the risk of realizing how valuable he was if he's not there.
But what is overpaid with the way contracts are going right now? What is designated as overpaid for someone like Capella?
I mean, look, before the season started, we were casually throwing around numbers like 18 to 20 a year. But when you look at, and it's funny because we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. When I throw out names like Alan Crabb of the Nets or Mike Conley, who's never made an all-star team, and we're talking about $30-plus million a year type contracts. When you talk about Chandler Parsons, who plays every other game, making 25. And then you talk about what we're talking about with the value of Clint Capella, and so many teams are trying to be so bad that they have, this is the reason why J.J. Redick got a $23 million contract for 1 year. Someone's going to throw sick money at Capella because they know that they have to try and pry him loose, because the Rockets have the right to match, and you want to get them to the point where they're uncomfortable with their cap situation. I got to believe now that number has increased by at least $7 million. I would think that Capella's probably in the $25-27 million range in terms of, if you're going to try and get him away from the Rockets, that's the offer he's going to get.
Well, here's the crazy thing. is his current contract has him 46th
yep.
among centers in the NBA.
And overall, 46. It's like what? Was it like $4 million a year?
So what I'm seeing on SpotTrack is he's got a four-year, $6 million deal.
So it's less than that.
Yeah, and then there's a qualifying offer next year that'll put him at, you know, $4 million, just over four.
So
4.8 yeah. for a qualifying offer next year is what they can offer him. So if you look at contracts, Andre Drummond with $127 million, Horford with $113 million, Marc Gasol at $113 million, Kevin Love $113 million, Rudy Gobert $102 million. I mean, where do you rank? I think part of it is you have to consider where do you rank Clint Capela among the centers in the NBA, and then you can kind of gauge, is he top 10? Because number 10 on the list is $72 million.
Yeah,
and that's Joakim Noah.
That's crazy in itself.
Yeah, and then he's averaging 18 mil a year. Is Clint Capela worth more than Joakim Noah?
I was going to say, but here's the other variable.
18 million a year?
That we touched on but really didn't say, and that is, in a nutshell to sum it up, you also have to take into consideration his value to the team that he plays for.
Yep.
Because in certain systems, he might not be utilized the right way, maximizing his talents, and he might not be as effective. But in this system, you can start to see what we have seen for a long time, which is he has a higher value than the naked eye just looking at the box score has
yeah.
for him. And so you probably have to pay him accordingly. I think there's yeah. he's easily in that $70-plus million range for the 10th Dude, spot.
Steven Adams got a four-year, $100 million contract. That's $25 million a year.
That's what I said. It's at least 25 and up now. So, Nick, yeah. you prepared to pay that?
Nah, 25, I think. See, for me, I think overpaid for Capela is probably 25 or more, honestly. But I think if it's something similar to Ryan Anderson, because look, if I'm Clint Capela, I'm looking at Ryan Anderson's contract, and I'm like, look, if he's getting that, I'm getting this. So something like $17 million 1 year, $18 in another, maybe $20 in the third, I think that's fair, but he'll probably get a little bit more than that, and that's my guess. You know what I mean?
So but you're 20, saying averaging around 18,
something like that, 18,
year.
19 million a year. That's not necessarily okay. overpaid in 2018, is it? Is it?
That's not overpaid. That's a bargain. And that's the only way he gets that is if he stays in Houston and he wants to give him a hometown discount. Because other than that, if Capella's about the cash, he's gonna be elsewhere next year. But he's going to be elsewhere, and he's going to be ridiculously rich. Because I think it's 25 eight, plus.
Okay. $18 million a year would move him in like the bottom part of the top 10 in paid centers. Which
is
I mean,
fair.
I don't know. To me, he's a top five guy.
No.
I just don't know if you're...
I don't even consider him a top five guy. I consider him a top 10 guy.
I don't know. You don't think he's you? Okay, I'm going to read you a list of the top five paid centers. You don't think he's amongst these guys? Andre Drummond, Al Horford, Marc Gasol, Kevin Love, and Rudy Gobert. The second tier.
Well, you're talking about for paid, but I'm talking about like in terms of skill.
First of all,
like
it's hard to
Boogie
say Kevin
Cousins,
Love,
Anthony Davis.
It's hard to say Kevin Love.
But those
run
on the list.
But you think about it. Rudy Gobert is just a little bit more publicized version of Clint Capela just because of the fact that he came on after being the MVP of a summer league, and now he's been, you know, really stellar defensively. But Clint Capela has more offensive moves than Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
So
I think Capela will end up being paid in among the top five in the league.
I think you're right. And if the Rockets want to keep him, they better find a way to pay him that kind of money. It's 25 yeah. plus in my mind.
Or
so
start getting Joe Chi to start stretching because he's up.
Oh, he can stretch all right, but can he play? We'll find that out. All right, midway point of the game. So we're going to take a break. You can too. But come right back, won't you? Because we got a second half of the show that's going to be stellar. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, second half of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on ESPN 97.5 as we have been kicking around a lot of different topics. Some great tweets as well.
Hey, this I wanted to say this before I close out this tab that I had open of the statistical leaders in the playoffs, because I want to give props to James Harden for being second in steals in the playoffs. And I don't know that he is still getting enough credit for some of the defense that he plays. He takes plays off, let's be real. But he's averaging 2.5 steals a game, tied with Chris Paul and Jay Crowder out of Utah. The only player averaging more steals a game is John Wall at 3. So, I mean, both Chris Paul and James Harden are combining for 5 steals a game. That says a lot about where this team has come since last year defensively, when you've got a motivated James Harden actually playing defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is I think he's had a huge step in the right direction this year with his maturity, and that's on and off the floor. But I think on the floor, I think he finally realized it's one thing to be the leader of this team offensively and talk a good game on defense. And you were, you know, very astute last year in pointing out how many times he just quit and didn't even get back when he didn't get a call. This year, he does seem like he's changed in a lot of ways. And obviously, offensively, he's earned that MVP. But defensively is what's going to win the championship for you. And whether it's rubbing off the effect of Tucker and Mbamute and what Capella does or not, regardless, or Chris Paul's motivated him. Look, the fact of the matter is he's a different guy in a lot of ways, and he's playing more defense this year. And that's something that's a reason, you know, part of the reason why they sit where they sit in terms of the best record in the NBA.
Yeah. And, you know, just to switch gears a little bit, I know we're probably going to talk some other things, but watching the game last night, I felt bad for San Antonio when they're out there obviously fighting with one hand behind their back anyways, fighting, you know, the Warriors, and Pop is not there, and I just felt bad they got bounced. I'm sure that there was some motivation to try and keep that series alive and win one for Pop, but It's weird to see San Antonio struggle and look so bad at times like they have.
Yeah, I think it's the end of the road for Ginobili and for Parker. It just seems that way, and it's been one hell of a run, and I'm glad that they got that accomplishment of the most wins by a duo in NBA history. From a Pop perspective, to kind of feel it, and Nick can comment on this too, but for our show for SB Nation Radio, Mario wanted to take some time because he coached with Pop and he played for Pop, and you could feel it from all the things that you've heard from the different people, even after the game yesterday, the way Draymond Green went out of his way to make sure that he addressed it. That whole team is Greg Popovich. And it's been that way, as a lot of people call it a dynasty. That dynasty has been led by the general that is Greg Popovich. And without him there, and to realize how difficult this season was already, dealing with all of the off-the-floor issues and the Kawhi Leonard situation, but then to have to finish it like this, it just has to rip at every heartstring of anybody that's even remotely associated with basketball, but especially those associated with the Spurs.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to watch this team too. You realize how important Kawhi Leonard is. I think that's no secret. But this team went 4-5 down the stretch in the regular season, and that's when it was really mattered. I mean, this is when you could have the opportunity to finish third in the Western Conference if you just put together a nice little run over your last 10 games. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even get above 500. And then, you know, they only win one game out of 5 in the playoffs. And they are struggling right now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the offseason.
Spurs people are telling ESPN it's top of their list to meet with Kawhi. You think? I mean, you might want to figure that situation out since you've completely pissed away an entire year.
Yeah, did you see this article where they talked about the different possible trades for Kawhi? I wanted to see, because I thought what you said made a lot of sense with the trade to Washington, swap John Wall for Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. That made a lot of sense to me. That didn't make the list, which surprised me. So they had one being the Lakers, and it was a Brandon Ingram for Kawhi Leonard swap. The other ones were going to Philly. Him and Brandon Paul for Dario Saric, Marco Fultz, Jared Bayless, and a first-round pick from the Lakers that Philly owns. The Celtics, would be Kawhi for Kyrie Irving and Boston's first-round pick in 2018.
They'll never do that.
And then the Heat. Going to the Heat for him and Patty Mills to the Heat for Dragic, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, and Bam Adebayo.
I mean, look.
Any of those move your needle?
If San Antonio's willing to do that, okay. But I don't think that they get enough out of Miami. I don't think that Boston's idiotic if they get rid of Kyrie. I think the one that kind of made some sort of sense, I think they get some young players out of Philly. That's a possibility, too. And I think the Lakers move was the one that makes the most sense to me because, yeah, Brandon Ingram's got a lot of potential around him. He's got to fill out. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. Overall, I haven't seen enough to say he's going to be superstar quality. And the Lakers are that kind of team right now looking for that superstar. Whether Paul George decides to go there or not, that puts you in the right direction in a hurry if you swap out a Brandon Ingram and you get yourself a Kawhi Leonard.
Well, what's interesting is when you were saying that, I was looking at the article and it says basically they, as a result of by stretching Luol Deng's contract, the Lakers have enough flexibility to acquire Leonard, still sign a max free agent like LeBron James, retain the rights on restricted free agent Julius Randle, and still have an amount similar to the non-taxpayer mid-level exception available to sign another free agent.
Yeah.
Perhaps that could be enough to bring back Caldwell Pope or somebody like that. So that it I don't think that it's too crazy to think that, because my first thought was, why would Kawhi want to go to L.A. where there's nothing to do? I mean, where there's not nothing to do, but where there's not really – there's some young guys around him. But if he's got options based on this list, if I'm Kawhi, send me to Philly. And let me go play with that young squad.
But he's not
squad.
A free agent, so it's up to the Spurs. And so it becomes what do they think that they can rebuild the fastest with?
And he's not a free agent, but he's got to re-sign in 2019.
Right.
So if you're trading him, if you're the team that's trading him, you want to talk and you want him to make sure
you better
if you're
have
giving
that.
Up a Brandon Ingram, you better have a handshake deal before that deal is made. So you're counting on the Spurs. And you have to have that discussion. So I'm sure that the Spurs have to go to him and say, will you, you know, the Lakers want to do this deal, assuming you'd sign long term. Is there, you know, so it's up to, so he would have a say in it, I would imagine.
Yeah, but the Spurs could play Kawhi games like Kawhi's uncle, and they could say, hey, we don't have to tell you anything. You work that out with whoever we trade you to after we send you on your way, because you basically sent us a sorry bill of goods for the past 12 months.
But what do you think of a big three? What would you think of the big three of Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Kawhi Leonard?
It's pretty salty.
It's nasty.
Pretty salty. Because defensively, you get with Embiid, and then you put a wing defender and a big point guard at 6'10 or 7 foot. Well, I'll tell you what. Talk about the process. That process would get a lot easier with him in the mix.
Speeding it up.
Kevin, hang in there. You want to talk Rockets? We'll get you after the break. We'll continue to roll on. We'll talk some hoops. We'll talk some other things. We've got the NFL draft starting tomorrow night. Texans fans, your draft starts Friday night. But we'll continue to roll on. And if you want to join the show like Kevin does, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Still in hour number two of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. It is Nick, Barry, Joel. It is a Way Back Wednesday. Barry, I'm not like you, so I give credit where credit is due. That means your list is very good.
The list is out there for those who was for those who are requesting it. It took me a while, but yeah.
I like how Joel can't just give me the compliment. He has to say, let me remind me that I'm an a-hole first, and then give me the compliment. Barry, I'm not like you, and your list is good.
Some things are necessary. They're required.
I hear you.
They're almost required anyway. So, you gotta add that little,
By the way, I don't know. I just tweeted out a picture, a reminder, if you will, from Google Photos that popped up on my phone, reminding me that about a year ago today, April 19th, a day that will live in infamy,
Barry Warner
walked into the studio with no shirt on. It was
proving
the first
his
time
nickname,
I've ever
the
thrown
Bear
up
fits.
Yes, the first time I've ever thrown up live on air. If you want to see what Barry Warner looks like with no shirt, follow me at Barry is Funny. You could also see where, oh no, I guess you can't see it. It got cropped out, but you can see his little penis belly button. He's got this little Audi, and it just, it's like, it looks like a little penis.
Can
on
you
his
see
stomach.
My comment
Very
below?
Weird. Wasn't this right after he told you to take it like a real man?
A Hall of Famer.
That was a horrible, horrible day. Oh God, it was the worst day ever.
Nick enjoyed it.
Man.
I did
he
not.
He was laughing in the background. You were not. Laughing in the background.
Didn't you volunteer to braid his back hair?
I never would do such a thing.
No.
Ever.
Oh, I thought that was something that you tried to mutter from the production studio.
Yeah, he needs
all the way down to his butt
to
and
his
then
tramp
be a
stamp.
Tail after that.
To his yes. tramp stamp.
I wouldn't be shocked if he had a tramp stamp.
The comedian that I worked with last week in Tulsa had a joke about a dude being so hairy. He was like, "Are you wearing a wool wife beater?" That's kind of what Barry Warner looks like. He's got on a wool wife
beater.
Man,
I'm glad I'm not that hairy. I hope I don't get that hairy when I get old either, man. That was ridiculous.
Does he have his tramp stamp says Shalom, sweet home with an arrow that's pointing down.
I'm not a hairy dude at all. I mean, I'm hairy down there. But everywhere on my feet, guys, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. I am hairy down there in the crotch oil region. But everywhere else, I have like no arm hair, no
the crotch
back hair,
oil
no chest.
Region?
Crotch oral.
Oh.
Crotch oral region. I was making it sound scientific.
It sounded oral.
The crotch
oral
region.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hairy there, but nowhere else. So I'm thankful for that. Hashtag blessed.
Okay.
Joel?
What? I'm moderate.
Are you hairy?
No, I'm not.
Are you moderately
I'm
hairy?
Moderate. You already know that I do use the manscaper, though. So, yeah. I mean, there I have.
I wish I had one.
My back looks a lot like Barry's face.
Oh, what? Shots fired.
No, it's not a shot fired at all. I don't have like patchy? A rug back there, but I have a couple patches where I get hair.
Okay.
That's not a shot.
Your back has I was going to say your back has a big nose on it. What? That's a little weird.
No, my back is black, Barry. It's back in black.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
News flash, breaking news, and this, Barry, is multiple choice for you. Guess who just hit their first home run of the season?
Well, Nick gave it away because I heard.
Oh.
You weren't listening?
Altuve.
It just happened.
Yeah.
I just said it
I
on
listened
the air.
To the show, Nick. I know. I listened to the show, Nick.
What did you
Somebody
say it on the
else
air?
Doesn't.
It just happened.
Okay.
I didn't hear
I just said
goes.
It on
did
the air right after it
yard.
Happened.
Oh. Look at
oh
him.
My
he's,
gosh.
Oh, Barry, you should be seeing this, though, because he came down the steps and everyone's ignoring him. And he's
That's
pretending
awesome.
to like high five everybody, and he's jumping up and down and waving his hands up in the air and
best
laughing.
Best celebration in baseball. Best celebration in sports is the ignored home run celebration in the dugout. I love that. One of my favorites.
Now they're
That's
all
good.
Now they're all mobbing him,
they're
but that 4-1, was funny.
Or 4-0, right?
Yeah, 4-0.
4-0 now?
In the sixth, okay. Yep. I want to throw this out there for you guys. I didn't know if you saw this or not, but I put it on the rundown. Residents of an upscale community in Colorado are angry that a nearby home is being used as a venue for, you guessed it, wild sex parties for swingers. However, there is a caveat, as a lot of these people are elderly. Angry what? Dwellers at Castle Rock, which is a very, very wealthy golf community, have complained about disturbing sounds coming from a home as well as parking issues, drunken revelers during events. Local station Fox 31 reported some of them are so old they struggle to walk up the stairs. One woman from the municipality south of Denver said that it gets pretty raucous. They call it the Thunderstorm Play Palace, a 7,500-square-foot mansion. Swinging parties with alcohol, food, and a chocolate fountain. The flyers also suggest attendees at the invite-only party bring their own condoms and show respect for the quote-unquote new furniture. While neighbors have expressed concern about the noise, most are worried about exposing their children to the nature of the parties. You can hear people doing what they're doing, one neighbor said. The host of the parties is a married father and he has received significant harassment from neighbors for hosting these events and said a guest's car was vandalized. However, the police department said the host is not breaking any laws since the events are being held in the privacy of his home and admission is by donation only.
See, I would be more worried about exposing my kids to old saggy titas more than anything else. I don't want my kids seeing them old people.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. That's, I mean, gross. If it's a mix or a swingers party, it's one thing. But if they're all on AARP,
See, when I get if I'm in my 60s, I don't want to see naked 60-year-olds. That's not the thing. It's like, I feel like I'm in my 40s now. I'm not Googling like MILF porn. I don't want to see that. I want to see the 20-year-olds.
You want to remember your heyday?
I certainly don't want to see a 65-year-old woman's chest sitting
in
her lap.
I'm telling you, I will.
What are you doing? I'm getting dressed. That's what I'm doing. I'm leaving.
I tweeted it back out.
I got to pick my keys out of the bowl.
At Pac-Man Joel, I tweeted out the picture. The mansion that they are using for these festivities is no joke. It is a serious, serious house. 7,500 square foot, and it's a pretty sweet spread. But I'm sure that the spreads are different when you get in the house.
Man, I old people having sex is just gross. I know. I don't want that guy I don't want that 50-year-old calling back again, but that's just, there's a couple things I don't want to see. I don't want to watch old people eat because that's disgusting. Have you ever watched an old person eat?
Uh-huh.
It's gross. Let's be real.
It's like a leaf blower.
And food's flying out of their mouth, yeah. And they're smacking, and they're like, I mean, yeah, trying to watch an old man gum a steak is gross and sad. But I don't want to see them have sex either.
Yeah, I mean, with all you have, the money you have in the neighborhood you're living at and how big the house is, just put up a windbreaker or a windbreak.
Something.
Yeah, put up big bushes and, you know, keep it more private for yourself.
Nobody wants to watch that.
Unless you guys want to take this call before we go to break?
Yeah, unless they're trimming. I'm sure they're putting up some big bushes. All right, Kevin wants to get in here on the Rockets. Kev, what's up?
Hey, Joel. Hey, Barry. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, you know, before I say what I was going to say about the Rockets, you know, I argued with Raheel about the wait times, but you guys have proved me wrong today. Anyway.
why? Because we got to you so fast?
Oh, no. Because you got to me at 18 minutes and 45 seconds, but I'll tweet that out to you, Rockets hater.
But Kevin, you came to the right spot. No one talks better basketball than our show, so go ahead.
You know what? You're right, Joel. You are right. Raheel and Dell are more about finessing the game and throwing shade. You know, kind of like I just threw at you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, beautiful.
You guys were talking about Clint Capela about maybe 6 segments ago, and I was just trying to. I've never been sold on Capela. You guys were saying how he's a much better offensive player than Rudy Gobert, and I know that he has a lot more to gain. But I feel like Chris Paul and James Harden kind of make Capela what he is now. The majority of his shots come from the paint, and the majority of his defense and his blocks come from weak side the majority of the time. So I just feel like, and I've called the show before, I just don't think that his physicality is all the way there. Because in the Spurs series, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge killed us. And the Thunder series, we had to sit Capela down because Steven Adams was killing us. I just don't think that. I know that he deserves some money, but I don't think that it just needs to be a big fat paycheck.
Well, Kevin, it's obvious you hate the Rockets, but I will say this: Capela last year versus Capela this year is two different Clint Capelas in my book. It's not as easy as you think by saying that. Well, you know, James Harden and Chris Paul are the ones that set him up for that. You can't just run a pick and roll with anybody. There's a lot of skill that goes into that, and the fact that he's athletic and he can jump and he's learned how to finish at the rim. Because remember, Clint Capela last year, he was soft. That was one of my big bitches about him, was that he never finished. He was laying the ball up, trying to finesse, you know, shoot the ball, finger roll. All you wanted him to do was dunk the ball. That's it. You're a big dude. Dunk the ball. He's doing that this year. He's a different offensive player in my mind because of it. He's more aggressive. He's bigger and stronger. I mean, yeah, you've got to give some credit to James Harden and Chris Paul, but it's because they run the pick and roll so well. But he still has to finish and play his part in that, and not everybody can do that, or every team in the league would be running it to perfection.
Here's what I'll say about it. All right, when he was drafted, everybody said, who? and everybody thought he was just a guy that Daryl Morey was going to stash that would never see the light of day with the Houston Rockets, okay? And then you take him from there as a guy that wouldn't go away. Even his first year, he said, I'm staying. I'm going to be in Houston. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And look to the progression that he's made to get where he is now and realize at his age, with the development that he's already brought to the table, he's only going to get better. And the other thing that I'll say, because people are going to be critical of his offense or the fact that, one, to the caller's point about him not being as big and physical and strong, the centers in the game today, aside from a Boogie Cousins or a deteriorating Marc Gasol, find me a big, strong, burly center that's at the level that you're hoping he gets to. The day has come with the new styles of offense where it's a more athletic center that can do more things by being versatile and get up and down the floor. And you look at the contracts, too, and you're trying to talk about the money standpoint and not wanting to pay too much. Look at what Chris Paul has done for guys that he's played with over his career that fit the exact mold of what you're talking about and blow your theory about money out of the water. Because Tyson Chandler is offensively limited, and he may be the most skilled offensively of Clint Capella himself and DeAndre Jordan, but DeAndre Jordan broke the bank. And if you look at what they're paying Tyson Chandler, he's still making upwards of $11 to $15 million a year. That's what like Nick said, the going rate of what salaries have gotten to in the NBA, there are no more bargains.
And here's what I'll say, and I know Barry, you got a live read here, but I'll say this: I would actually give more credit to James Harden making Capella better than Chris Paul, despite Chris Paul, in my opinion, being the better passer. The pick and roll chemistry that James Harden and Clint Capella has, I feel like, is slightly better. And then going back to what Barry said last year, a part of the problem was he would get a pass or an alley-oop pass from James Harden, and he would catch it and then land on the court before attacking the basket. Now he's learned to catch the ball in the air and slam it, which is way more difficult. There's a skill in that pick and roll that Barry was referring to, and that's part of it. You have to be able to catch it in the air, in traffic, with bodies hitting you, and being able to finish the ball. So I don't necessarily believe it's Chris Paul and James Harden. I would actually give more credit to James Harden. And James Harden, in my opinion, is not as good as a passer as Chris Paul. So Clint Capella could be a good player on a number of teams, not just the Houston Rockets. But that's all I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
Yeah, all good points. And I think if you put Clint Capella on another team, he's definitely an average center if the team doesn't run the kind of offense that the Rockets do. Because remember, too, if you want a big center, they've got to run the court in this offense. And
that's not
as easy when they're bigger and more muscular and less athletic. So
no question.
I think if he's on the Miami Heat, Clint Capella is an average center at best. But on this team, I think he's a top five center in the league.
So. And you mentioned it, Barry, but look at the team you referenced. Hassan Whiteside, who's average at best and checks out of games. Look at the contract he just got last year. He's going to get paid.
Yep. All right, guys, you know what? I want to tell you this because the summer is coming and we need to talk air conditioners because we all know how hot that brutal Houston heat is. Time to get your AC service. So it's time to call Courtesy AC at 713-278-9933. Call them, have them come out, get your AC ready for the summer. They've been doing it for years. In fact, they've been servicing the Houston area for almost 30 years. And they not only do residential, if you own a business, they can do commercial systems as well. So keep that in mind. But here's the more important thing. R22 Freon is going away. And I know a lot of you are like, whatever, I don't care about Freon. Well, you know what? You will care in a couple of years when R22 is phased out and your AC breaks down and you can't get it fixed. So that's why Courtesy AC is telling you, you need to have your system checked out. It might be up to snuff. And if it is, they'll tell you, yeah, you're good. You have a newer unit that doesn't use R22 Freon anymore. But if it's not, they can help you upgrade or replace that old unit and save you money in the process. Give them a call. 713-278-9933 is the number. They're online at courtesyaconline.com. Let them come out. Let them service your unit. Tell you if you need to upgrade it or let you know that you're good to go. They will either way. They're honest. It's hard to find good, honest AC folks in this business, but they are. Courtesy AC is there for you. They've been around for 30 years. You don't make it 30 years if you don't know what you're doing. Those guys are out there ready to service your residential or commercial system. So call them. 713-278-9933 is the number or hit them up online. CourtesyACOnline.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.